Mr. Simon, thanks so much for this. You're a Yankee fan that came to check out your team. Sorry about the result.
Yeah, tough for the Yankees, but I agree with you. I think Dickey's a great pitcher. I just saw him get beat up last week in New York, yep. And I'm happy for him tonight. He pitched a good game, and he fielded a good game. I thought he took two hits away, at least the first.
Yeah, the one on the first inning off of Cano.
And then he made another really good play.
With Ichiro in the seventh.
Yeah. He really looked like the pitcher that the Mets had last year. And I guess he's been pitching well lately and the recipient of bad luck. Is that what happened?
A little bit of a recipient of the late soul-crushing home run as well in games that the team hasn't hit for him.
Well, that's what happened in New York. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Alfonso Soriano one. Uh-huh. So what brings you to Toronto?
Well, my son and I are on a baseball odyssey. We're seeing six different games in six days. So we started off at Wrigley.
Very nice.
Saw the Cubs. The next day, the White Sox were in town. So, we saw that. Then we went to Cleveland. And stopped off the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and then we went to see the Indians play. And then yesterday we were in St. Louis, two first-place teams playing, Braves and Cards.
Very nice.
And that was fun, and today we're here, see the Yankees, and see your stadium for the first time. It's really, really an impressive stadium with the tower, you know, from where we were sitting. Really was great, especially at twilight.
Just thinking back over your career, I want to talk about baseball. Obviously, you referenced the Yankees as far back as Mrs. Robinson in the 60s. What did baseball mean? How much of a part of your life was it growing up?
Baseball was the main thing I was interested in. You know, and then I found music and girls right around the same time. All right. And it's pretty much stayed those three elements.
That's not bad.
For the rest of my life, yeah.
If you can do it that way, that's not too bad. So I'm assuming you were a diehard Yankee fan. You grew up at a time when it was great to be a Yankee fan.
Yeah, it was. I'm a Yankee fan because my dad was a Yankee fan and passed it on to my son. And it was a good time to be a Yankee fan, but because it was the Casey Stengel years and they won whatever, five in a row, unthinkable now, but that's right. That's what happened back then. And it was the beginning of the Mickey Mantle era, so, you know, he was my first idol, first hero that I had. I think I've only had, in my life, four heroes. Mantle, Presley, JFK, and Lenny Bruce.
That is one hell of a list, I got to tell you. Not bad at all. We just came from Yankee Stadium. We were in Houston in the middle, but in the Bronx last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you walk around the halls of just the press box, and there's Mickey Mantle here and Joe DiMaggio and Lou Gehrig and the incredible history that team has. Of course, here in Toronto, we kind of hate them, but the last 20 years, it really hasn't mattered that much.
Most everybody hates the Yankees.
Like rooting for U.S. Steel is what they used to say.
Yeah, that's true.
So Mickey Mantle was one of the favorites, and then music took over. And I think of you, and I think of the great music, the partnership with Art Garfunkel at the beginning. But what stands out to me is you're a five-timer hosting Saturday Night Live, and what a great experience that must have been for you.
Well, that was always so much fun, you know. Well, Lorne Michaels, he's a Toronto boy.
We're thrilled to death, proud of him.
And so I hosted the second show that they had. I met Lorne on the summer before the show began, and he's actually my neighbor in New York. We literally live right next to each other. So Saturday Night Live was always great fun. I like to do comedy. It's fun. It's like playing baseball.
Yeah.
I still like to play baseball.
Which is wonderful. Have you ever gone up in a broadcast booth and done a game or a piece of a game or anything like that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's too bad you're not staying another night.
Yeah, well, we got to go on to Fenway.
I would be happy to give you the fifth tomorrow.
Oh, that would have. Well, I wish I'd have known that in advance.
Oh, well, we weren't sure.
Well, you know what I was thinking tonight is that this pitcher that the Yankees brought in, the left-hander Huff.
Yep.
This is the second straight game that he's pitched exceptionally well. I thought I counted six strikeouts. I'm not sure how many.
Five.
Five strikeouts.
And three and a third innings. Yeah. And last time he pitched against the Blue Jays, which was last Wednesday, five innings of one hitter,
six
strikeouts there.
I don't know whether he can go longer, but maybe they'll take Hughes out of the rotation and try him. I feel really bad for Phil Hughes, who's a really, really nice guy who's really trying hard and thinking about it when you hear the interviews with him. But, I mean, he must be really bummed out to have a season where he's 4-13.
Yeah, 4-13.
He's a better pitcher than that.
And you think about it, the two pitchers who would have been 1-2 out on the free agent market this year, trying to cash in, making bazillions of dollars, Phil Hughes and Josh Johnson. We had Josh Johnson here. He's got two wins, and now he's done for the season. And these are guys who really losing a chance to cash in.
Well, I feel like Hughes. Well, I don't know what'll happen. You know, I'm just a fan, so I don't really know what the inside stuff is. But I think Hughes will do well if he goes somewhere else, because he just looks discouraged now. Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe it, and he's really, you know, he's still throwing a ball in the mid 90s. But again, you know, I'm a fan. So you throw a ball in the mid 90s, I don't know whether he's throwing a ball that's got any movement on it or.
That's all right. This show is all about the fans.
Same with Dickey. Watching Dickey throw, you know, I'm trying to see like how much movement the ball, how much. But from where I was sitting, I can see it dip, but I can't see it move.
Because you were off to the left towards the chase.
I guess you can see it great.
Well,
from
we
here.
Cheat because we got. We got the monitors
got that,
here,
right.
But we do see it well here. And since this is your first time here at Rogers Center, along with your traveling companion, I just want to let you know that the roof is closing if you want to take a look.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool for a lot of people the first time they see it. You don't get to see the whole shell swing around because it was closed. It was half closed the whole game because there was some threatening weather coming in, but now the two panels are coming out, and this thing will be all buttoned up in less than 10 minutes.
I see. That's how long it takes, 10 minutes?
When this one's already closed. Otherwise, it'll take 20 to swing the first part around. All right, a couple of minutes left with Paul Simon here. I want to talk a little bit about music, and we heard Graceland coming in. They were playing it, right, at the time. They were playing Graceland over the PA. And with all the stuff you did and the musical levels that you reached, and I'm sure 20 years ago people were asking you this, and I loved that album, and I think I could probably give you 80% of the lyrics to Graceland and Boy in the Bubble, and you can call, I give you 100 to, you can call me Al. But what made you do that African music and pull them in and try to make a pop record like that?
I didn't try to make a pop record. I wasn't really trying to. The reason I did it is because I love the music. And I happened to have heard the music. I mean, somebody gave me a tape of one of the groups on the record, and when I traced it back and found it was from South Africa, I started to listen to other music from South Africa, and eventually I went there and I recorded, I think five of the tracks were recorded within a 10-day period. But I wasn't thinking that it was a pop record. And in fact, I wasn't thinking that it was a hit record. I wasn't surprised that it was a hit record because I loved it. But I wouldn't have been surprised if people would have said, "I just don't get it. I don't know what that is. It's too strange." But for me, it was certainly one of the major teaching experiences of my musical career and my life.
And this is the height of apartheid. You're bringing over a black South African group to help you put together an album.
That's right. Mandela was still in prison, and it was very, very tense there.
Do you have favorites of your songs?
Not really. You know, you get... you can be influenced by the fact that some songs are really famous, like Bridge Over Troubled Water, or The Sound of Silence, or You Can Call Me Al, or Me and Julio, or things like that. So, but I can't really say that one or the other of those is my favorite.
That's interesting, because I'm sure people come up to you all the time and say, oh, I love this one, or I love that one. Does anyone ever surprise you with a, I'm really a big fan of, wow, I never thought that one went over well? Or,
yeah, I'll tell you a surprise I had. I was walking down Central Park West in New York, right next to Central Park, and a woman walks up, is walking the opposite direction, and she's walking with a toddler, you know, like 4 years old, mm-hmm. three, 4 years old. And she said, "Are you Paul Simon?" And, easy question. So she said, "You'll never guess what my son's favorite song is." And she's holding his hand, like he's squirming. I said, "No, I'll never. I couldn't guess." She said, "It's The Boxer."
Wow.
That's what I said. Really? The Boxer? And she said, "Yeah, it is. It's The Boxer." But when we get to the lines, you know, where you
Seventh
say
Avenue,
horrors on Seventh Avenue, we changed the lyrics to the toy stores on Seventh Avenue.
Oh, that's very nice. It's very nice when you take some comfort at the toy stores
that's
on Seventh
right.
Avenue.
I said, "Hey, look, those lines may be better than the ones I wrote."
That I would love for you to perform it like that one day. I once told, and this is not. This is a musician you may never even have heard of, but a local celebrity named Larry Gowan, who is fronting Styx now. I met him once, and I said, I always misheard one of your lyrics. The lyric was, "I'm numb to pain," and I always heard it as, "I love to paint." And he said, "Next time I'm going to sing it like that." So there's your challenge, Paul Simon. It is incredible to have you here. We're short on time. We don't want to keep you here forever, but just, give me your assessment of what you saw out there today, because I'm going to spend the next 40 minutes taking calls from people who think the Toronto Blue Jays are awful, the manager needs to be fired, the team needs to be blown up, and everything is terrible here, and you just saw them beat your Yankees.
Well, I feel bad for the Blue Jays and their fans and the season that they had, given the expectations all of the players, and I mean, it's easy to make explanations after the fact. Dickey's coming from the National League, he's coming into the AL East, that's supposed to be the toughest
right.
division, and Reyes has a history of being hurt, and by the way, where's Bautista?
He's got a hip thing. Just went on the DL the last few games ago. Sore hip, and
like,
we don't know.
A-Rod?
No, they don't think it's that bad, uh-huh. but it's just right now all we've heard is sore left hip.
Yeah, it's really a drag when players get hurt. I feel terrible for any of the pro athletes who get hurt. You just want to see. First of all, you just feel bad when for the frustration of the player, mm-hmm. To think that you're trained and you're all psyched to go for a season, and now you're going to lose a season or a half a season to some injury that you have to rehab. That must be, terrible. It would be like losing your voice right before you had to go on tour. It would be terrible.
Yeah.
And actually, the truth is like, I feel bad for Alex. I feel bad emotionally for mm-hmm. him that he has to come up in every ballpark, with the possible exception of Yankee Stadium, and even there it's not 100% sure, and every place boos him. And just as a human being, that's got to feel excuse me, that's got to feel pretty lousy to be booed. On the other hand, thinking about it, I understand that's the game, and he's got to accept that. But just as a human being, it's pretty tough to be booed. I know once or twice I've been booed on stage. It's really not fun.
Well, at least he can comfort himself by going home and seeing the portrait he has of himself painted as a centaur. So
well, You know
that's
what?
Something.
I'll bet he traded the whole thing, all of it, to be.
To be loved?
To be, you know, who he was,
yeah.
And where he was, and all of that.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah. I got one more question before I let you go, and it's about this city. And Toronto has a great musical history, from the Beatles and the Who playing the Gardens and the Stones doing their little shows at the El Macambo all the time. And you played here countless times, I'm sure. What do you think of this place, both, you know, as a city and both and in a musical environment?
Well, as a city, you know, I always felt comfortable here because, in some ways, it's similar to New York as a North American cities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in some ways, as a place to play musically, it used to be. I don't know if this is true anymore, but it used to be a very conservative town in terms of audience reaction. You know, it was like very subdued, and people would say, don't get thrown if the audience doesn't really, you know, react, you know,
it's like, know, that
with
for
great enthusiasm
too.
Is it
yeah.
still
yeah
I don't know if it was still the last few times I played here I didn't feel like that was the case, but when I first came here with Simon and Garfunkel, they would say that, but then the newspapers would excoriate the crowd the next day and say, you know, Toronto is just won't get up out of their seat, and you know, Montreal is a better place to play. But the truth is, it was always a good town for music. They have a good history with music. They like music. They're attentive audiences, and I always like coming here.
Can I ask you your favorite Canadian act? Is that putting you on the spot too much?
A favorite Canadian act? Well,
I think a lot of people...
I don't know. You know, there's a lot. There's an awful lot of talent came out of Canada. You know, Neil Young and Joni Mitchell from back in my time in the 60s. Gordon Lightfoot is a tremendous talent.
His drummer is on our radio station all the time. He pops in every once in a while, the co-host.
I like Gordon a lot, you know, and I like his music. I like him.
That's good. Three's plenty.
Well, they're not Toronto people, though, are they? Well, maybe Gordon is.
I think
but
Gordon
the others
is.
Are from they're from the West, aren't
yeah.
they? Joni and Neil.
Yeah, I believe so. You put me on the spot now, and I'm not
100%
sure. Guess who's from Winnipeg? I can tell you that, and the more not even contemporary. My years, like the band, like the Tragically Hip, were from just up the road in Kingston,
right?
As well, some fine music coming out
right.
of here.
Robbie Robertson's from here.
Yep,
you know, from when I say here, what I really mean Canada. Yeah, a lot of talent coming out of here. Justin Bieber is
Stratford down the road.
Yep, so. We saw him. Our whole family went to see him at Madison Square Garden.
What'd you think?
I thought it was... I thought he sings well, and the music is too loud. It's too, you know, I can't... He's got a really good voice. I can't hear what I can't hear what the words are because the music is so loud. And his voice is on top of the... It's on top of the band, too. It's not like it's buried. But it's so... But it didn't matter because you know, that's just a different kind of act. You know, I mean, it wasn't about me liking it or not. I just went along with my daughter, who's she was the fan, and the rest of us all just sort of went to see what a Justin Bieber concert would be like.
That's an amazing story. I never expected to hear that you were at a Justin Bieber concert. Thank you so much. I appreciate all this time that you've given us, and I'm glad you, even though your Yankees lost, I'm glad you enjoyed the experience in the city. It's great to meet you. It's great that you're on this baseball odyssey. That's something I've wanted to do for a long
time.
It's
fabulous. If anybody ever wants to, like, you know, live the dream, this is one of the ways to do it. And thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it so much.
I cannot tell you what a pleasure it is. Thank you so much. And to you and Gabe, have a great trip to Boston.
Thank you.
And enjoy the rest of it.
Thanks. Good night.